Chapter 42. When Jesse Stone came out of the elevator on the third floor, Monty Bernstein was there to greet him. They shook hands. He didn't trust the lawyer as far as he could throw him, but Bernstein was more pleasant than most. As a cop, Jesse understood that pleasant didn't mean incompetent, nor did it mean impotent. Criminal lawyers usually knew the wrong kinds of people. They were sort of like cops in that way. Jesse sure knew his share of bad guys and wasn't above rubbing elbows with them if it meant getting to the bottom of a nasty case. There had been that whole thing with Crow a few years back, and more recently he'd had occasion to make an ally of Fat Boy Nelly, a Boston-area pimp who was taking the business of prostitution digital. That was another way cops and lawyers were alike. The bad guys with whom they crossed paths often owed them favors, and Jesse knew if he was willing to call in those favors, so too would a guy like Monty Bernstein. That made him potentially dangerous, even if he was more pleasant than most. "Ben's in room 312, said the lawyer as they moved down the hall. "Where's Harlan Salter?" "You seem to have a knack for getting under Harlan's skin. Let's just say that after our first few meetings with you, it was easy for me to convince my client not to be here." "Your client doesn't seem easy to convince under any circumstances," Jesse said. "Tell me about it. But he pays well." "I figured." Jesse left it at that. This was his second hospital room visit of the day. He hoped it would be more productive than the one he'd had with Gabe Weathers. Gabe was communicative up to a point, but between the pain from his concussion and his broken pelvis and the medication, he wasn't making much sense. It was clear that the concussion had pretty much wiped out Gabe's memory of the entire morning of the accident. He couldn't recall the accident at all. He remembered that he'd been assigned to keep an eye on someone. He just couldn't remember who or why. Then he got frustrated at trying to remember. Jesse assured him that it was okay and that everyone was looking forward to his return to duty. The doctors told Jesse that return wouldn't be for quite a few months, but that he could probably be transferred to Paradise General in a few days. "Here we are," Monty said. "Listen, Jesse, I think we understand each other, and we're all anxious for the man or men who did this to Ben and Miss Penworth to be brought to justice. But if I sense your questions are either straying into areas I feel are unrelated to the case or get Ben agitated, I'm going to call an immediate end to the interview." "Fair enough. I was wondering if I might have a moment alone with Ben before you begin the interview." Jesse nodded. The lawyer knocked and entered Ben Salter's room. Good to his word, Bernstein called for Jesse Stone not 2 minutes after that. Jesse introduced himself and explained what he was doing there. The kid's entire face was black and blue. His nose and jaw were swollen, his eyes were slits. One of his ankles was in a cast. Jesse asked how he was feeling. The kid said he was glad that his jaw was only bruised and that he guessed he would be okay. Jesse smiled at that.
"Martina's dead, isn't she? No one will tell me anything."
Jesse added to the kid's frustration. "Why do you think she's dead?" Ben Salter described how he and Martina had just finished having sex for the first time when the guy in black burst into the room.
"He didn't say anything. He shot into the wall above the headboard to show us he was serious. He just kept pointing with his gun and silencer. He motioned for me to get out of the bed and get on my knees. He zapped me with something, and after that I can't remember much. I thought I remembered a shot, but I wasn't sure if I was confusing things. Then, when he got me out of the trunk of his car, I don't know. The way he smiled at me and shook his head when I asked about Martina, I felt like he killed her."
"She's dead, Ben. I'm sorry," Jesse said, finally ending the kid's torment. "Her parents came and took her home." Ben Salter was sobbing, chest heaving. Jesse asked if he wanted to postpone the talk.
"Fuck no. I want to get the guy who did this to us. It should be me who's dead, not Martina. He was after me. She was just there."
"Why do you think that?" Jesse said.
"It's pretty obvious. He kept me for a few days. I guess Martina was just in his way. Maybe he hadn't counted on her being there." Can you think of why he took you? For ransom, maybe? I don't know. He didn't say. Can you think of a reason he let you go? I don't know.
Although Jesse was mostly looking at the kid, he glanced at the lawyer out of the corner of his eye during these last two questions. But if he thought they would get a rise out of Bernstein, he was wrong. Monty just sat there calmly, listening. Ben described in great detail the room in which he had been held captive. He described how he had attacked his captor with the broken light bulb. That was a pretty brave thing to do, Jesse said. I wanted to kill that guy. I would have wanted to kill him too, but now my job is bringing him to justice. Did the guy speak at all?
When I was cutting him, he said something like, "You bastard," I think, but not exactly that.
Jesse cocked his head. What do you mean, not exactly?
It sounded funny, like he was sort of Irish, but not really. I guess it was a kind of Boston accent. I don't know. It was two words, and I was half crazy trying to kill the guy.
Good.
Does that mean something? Ben said, sitting up a little straighter in bed.
Maybe. We'll definitely check it out. One more thing. My officer, Luther Simpson, the guy who found you, he says you kept repeating something about a different trunk. What did you mean by that?
The first night when... Ben stopped himself, remembering Martina. Anyway, after he took me, I woke up, hogtied, I guess you'd call it, in the trunk of a car. It was an older car. There was a big spare tire underneath me, and no carpeting or anything in the trunk. It was really loud, like it had a big-ass engine, and the trunk really smelled of exhaust fumes. This time, when he got me, the trunk was fully carpeted, and it was pretty quiet. It smelled like a pretty new car, and it was a big car, I think.
They talked for a few more minutes. Jesse promised to come back and check up on Ben. He also said he might be back if he needed something clarified. Ben said he was willing to do anything to help get the guy who'd killed Martina. As Jesse turned to leave, the kid called after him.
It wasn't great. The sex, I mean, Ben said.
Jesse nodded. Most first times aren't.
It was good, you know, but we weren't used to each other. I wanted to do it again. I wanted it to be special for her. She was the most special girl I ever met. No.
Jesse wanted to say something to make the kid feel better, but words had never been his thing. Besides, he doubted that even Shakespeare could have come up with the words to ease the kid's pain. Monty Bernstein stayed behind in the room when Jesse left, but he caught up to Jesse at the elevator.
Thanks, Jesse. You were good with him.
He's been through a lot.
Did it help?
It's not much. It gives us a place to start, but you already knew that, Jesse said as the elevator door opened and they stepped inside.
I asked out of habit. Lawyers are always asking questions we know the answers to.
Monty then waited for the door to close on them.
About having Harlan come into your office tomorrow.
What about it?
Let me save all of us some time and bother.
Jesse said, I'm listening.
Mr. Salter was in Helton to exchange some paperwork with a minor business associate. I can assure you that Burt's All-Star Grill was the other party's choice of eateries, and not Harlan's.
I figured. Care to share the name of the other party?
Jesse, I'd say that question goes well beyond the scope of your investigation into this case.
We weren't obliged to tell you anything at all, but my client felt that any energy you spent tracing false leads or tangentially related issues would only hinder your investigation into the murder and Ben's abduction.
Thank your client for me.
So can I tell Harlan that you've changed your mind about having him come into your office?
No, Jesse said.
But you can tell him that the visit is bound to be shorter now that you've shared this information with me.
The elevator door opened. Jesse stepped out.
Monty Bernstein did not. Jesse turned back, using his arm to prevent the elevator door from closing.
Looking forward to seeing you and Mr. Salter in my office. If you come early enough, coffee and donuts are on me.
Jesse removed his arm and let the door slide closed.